You know, it's in the presence of the Lord that we find our strength and our courage. And so as we stand here today and we just acknowledge that God is here. He is not distant. He's not dead. He's not far. Our God's alive. He's here right now. And it's in the presence of our God that we find strength and courage. He spoke to Joshua and said, "Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. And I'll be with you." And that same message is that message for us this morning. So what's God calling you to do? What's your situation in life? You can be strong and courageous right now. And so I was just feeling led myself during worship just to acknowledge those things where we need the strength of God. Because how many of us are in situations that we can't do much about? How many of us are in situations where we just need God to do something? I know there's a lot of us here that have that issue going on. It's because we need to be dependent upon God. So as we're with Him this morning, let's just take a moment and acknowledge those things. Whether with your mouth or with your heart, let's just acknowledge those things. God, we need you. We need you to heal bodies. God, there are sicknesses among us that we can't do anything about. And we need you to heal. We've got family members, friends, and co-workers that we've been trying to share the good news of Jesus with, but their hearts are hard. So Lord, would you soften them right now? We need you, God. We need you to provide. We're dependent upon you, God. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd just release an excitement and an encouragement in our hearts that would bring that courage, that would bring that strength, for you're with us. And you're the God who can do all things. The word impossible is not even in your vocabulary. It's not in your vernacular. So strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us this morning. In the name of Jesus. We all said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your seat. It's a good day to worship the Lord. Amen. Love worshiping with you guys. It's a privilege. This morning we have another privilege of having Chris Nixon share with us, teaching the word this morning. If you want to go ahead and make your way up here.
These guys are great.
And a privilege indeed. So I'm going to go ahead and let you take over.
All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here. Huh? Looks better that way. All right. Don't fool with that. Oh, so glad to be here. Be strong and courageous. Actually, is the same phrase used in our scripture today. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you did. But from Hebrew to Greek, same phrase. Exactly the same. So the Lord is saying to us this morning, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Acts 6:10. Excuse me, Ephesians. Oh, I put that totally wrong on there. Is that my typo? All right, well, you see it. My humanness. Thank goodness. All right, so we are going to be in Ephesians 6 today. I did say that right. 6:10 is our scripture. Oh, well.
Hold on.
All right. There should be one right before that. Oh, and I typed it right, just not on my notes. So there we go. So again, our scripture, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Today we are going to be talking about that scripture and what that means. Before I do that, though, I wanted to tell you about a small experience I had just a few weeks ago at Mill Creek. I was there in the evening for a women's praise and prayer meeting. I had been asked to come along with others to participate and just to pray for women after a worship service. And I can remember starting the evening off, and they had dismissed us to pray. And, you know, I have this problem with self-confidence. It's just something I struggle with from time to time. And I was looking around thinking, oh, my word, what am I doing here? And in my mind's eye, I saw myself standing at a tent entrance. And are you familiar with the story in Exodus 33? And we see there that Moses, it says that Moses used to go out to the tent of meeting to meet with God. And there was a tent far out from the camp where the Israelites stayed. And that was the place that Moses would meet with God. It was the place where the cloud of glory would come down and the presence of God rested. And when people saw Moses head out to the tent, when the Israelites saw Moses head out to the tent, it says that they would get up and they would stand at the door of their tent and they would watch Moses go out. And when they would see the cloud of glory fall, that means when they saw God's presence come down, that they would begin to worship from the door of their tent. They would begin to worship and praise God. And they would watch. And in my mind's eye, as I thought, what am I doing here, Lord? What? You know, here I have these women before me and I need to pray for them. I need, you know, they're going to have big needs and, you know, this is scary. As I saw myself in my mind's eye standing at the door of my tent watching, quickly within my spirit, the Holy Spirit began to remind me. He said, no longer should you stand at the door of the tent watching. He says, for I have put my skirt over you. I have spread my skirt over you. And I have tabernacled over you. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with those terms. They're kind of weird terms. It's not things we use in our vocabulary today. But I have spread my skirt over you. You'll find that term in Ruth and again in Ezekiel. And that term is a husbandman pulling his skirt over his bride. It's a promise and a covenant relationship. And it represents God saying to his people Israel, I am entering into covenant relationship with you, for I love you, and you are mine. And so the Holy Spirit was reminding me, you're no longer going to stand at the tent door watching, because I love you, and you are mine. And he said, and I have tabernacled over you. And that's that phrase you find in Revelation. At the end of all time, God promises that He will dwell with His people. That no longer will it be us here on earth and kind of God in heaven, but He will be amongst the people. And He will dwell with them. And we know that as born-again Christians, people that are in relationship with God, that have that covering, that covenant relationship with God, that He has put His Holy Spirit in us, and we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God was reminding me through His Holy Spirit that you have entered into covenant with me because I love you, you are mine, and I have put my spirit within you. Do not stand at the door of your tent looking on. For my glory is in you. My spirit is in you. Not out there. but here. I say all that to introduce this scripture to you today. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What does that mean? First, Paul says, Paul's preaching this, he's writing it to the Ephesian church. He's had relationship with the Ephesians. He spent lots of time pouring into this church in the area of Ephesians, of Ephesus, excuse me, not Ephesians. And this is his letter to them after he spent much time. And at the end of his letter, he's summing everything up. He's summing up his time, his ministry. And he's saying, finally, if I don't have anything else to say to you, or at the end of everything I've said to you, at the end of all my time walking with you, teaching you, admonishing you, raising you up, teaching you about Christ, this is what I need you to walk away with. I thought of that. You know, I have kids. You have kids, many of you. And I think, you know, yeah, if I could say something to my kids, if I could say that finally, everything has to be in the realm of kids. You know, once you're a parent, everything contexts with kids. You know, I'm sorry, it just does. I think it might be that way forever, too. I don't know. Mom, is that the way it's always going to be? Yeah. All right, so I think, what would I say to my kids? And I would say something like, finally, at the end of everything, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you forget everything else I said, finally just be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. If you forget to brush your teeth at night, that's okay, but be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. I don't care if you're wearing dirty underwear. Okay, I don't. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Hey, Mommy.
Thank you. You know, he doesn't say, be good. He doesn't say, it's not a casual remark. He's not giving hugs goodbye and saying, oh, take care. Be good. Hey, behave yourself. Stay out of trouble. He's not saying that. He's giving a command. This is an imperative command he's saying. It's not a light remark. He's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not a casual remark. So what does that mean? He's saying two things. Be strong in the Lord. Let's look at that. Where are we on my slides? Second one. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
I've paraphrased this for you, not because I'm trying to just nitpick scripture, but because it's going to cut down on time. I encourage you to go back and look at all of this scripture. I've just highlighted. Okay? So please go back and read the whole thing. Be strong in the Lord. It's talking about a position we must hold as believers. You have to know what it means to be in the Lord and be strong in it. It's your footing. Earlier in his letter to the Ephesians, he had started out in his very first chapter talking about what was in the Lord, what was in Christ, what was in Him, what do we have in Christ. I highlighted, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He chose us in Him. Before the foundations of the world, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intentions of His will. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Before the foundations of the world, He predestined us to be adopted as sons. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of His grace. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intentions, which He purposed in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Do you know you have an inheritance in Him? And in Him you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a pretty good package. All in Him. All in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is yours. If you have Jesus Christ living in you, you have every spiritual blessing. He has adopted you as a son or a daughter. Look at it any way you want. We're not going there. He is yours. You are His. You have redemption. You know the mysteries. You have obtained an inheritance and you are sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit in Him. Be strong in the Lord. We have adoption as sons. We must know if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we must know who we are. You are as adopted. Next slide. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name." You believed on Him, you have the right to be a child of God. You are His child. What does that word right mean? I mean, that's kind of a weird word to put in there, don't you think? It means you have position. You have permission. You have authority. Power to do anything as long as it's right. Right and might. It involves ability, power, strength. It denotes executive power, executive authority. You're His child. He is a good father. That's your position. Romans 8:16-17 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." That means that in addition to calling Jesus Lord and Savior, Master, Redeemer, King of Kings, in addition to all that, we get to call Him brother. Because that's what He calls us. Dude, I think He's going to have a tattoo. A matching tattoo. Of course, He is the King of Judah. But He is your brother. And I wouldn't be saying that flippantly. Sisters. Thank you, Carol. But He says it Himself in Hebrews 2. He says, "For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren." See how great the love of the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. And such we are. This is our solid rock. This is our sure footing. This is our strong tower. It is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. It is in Him. It is in who He is and who He is in us and who we are in Him that we live, that we move, that we do, that we survive. See, Paul knew as he was writing that life is a battle. He was commissioned to go and to be a missionary to all the Gentiles, to tell people who had never heard about Jesus. He was the original missionary to all the people who had never heard about Jesus to be a testimony and a witness about Jesus. And he knew life was a battle. And he knew it was necessary to be strong in him, in who he was. He knew it was important that you understand your position and your authority. But Paul speaks of his struggle in 2 Corinthians, which must be coming up sometime soon. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashings. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked at night and day. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, it goes on and on, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? That's why Paul goes on to say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because Paul understood it necessary to be strong in the Lord, but also to have the power of his might. He knew his enemy. And that although that the enemy sometimes wears a physical mask, the enemy was supernatural. It says in Ephesians 6:12, for our strength is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He understood who his enemy was. And he understood that in order to fight, to stand ground against this enemy, he needed more than his own strength. He goes on in 2 Corinthians to admit his weakness, though, his own frailty. He says in chapter 11, verse 30, if I have to boast, I will boast in what pertains to my weakness. Verses 12, 9 through 10 said, and Christ said to me, the Spirit said to me, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well contented with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul understood that Christ's power was perfected and fully manifested in human weakness. See, God doesn't call us to be strong in the Lord and the power of our might, right? Because we cannot battle anything that comes our way from the enemy. I have to tell you, he is prince of this world. Did you know that? God is victorious. Jesus is victorious. But Satan and his power still roam the earth. Christ is victorious. And he has given us victory. We are not fighting the devil, but we are holding the victory that Christ has already won. We are appropriating for ourselves and for those we have influence around and over the victory that Christ has already won. But we do not do that in our own strength. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. Satan, unfortunately, is stronger than I am. Smarter. He has schemes that are above my knowledge and ability, but not above Christ. And Christ is in me. And I am his child. And because of that, because I am strong in that, and because his spirit is in me, I have all authority and power through Christ Jesus that I need to hold, to stand, to overcome. And Paul knew that. What do we got up next? It says 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. Paul says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom." In other words, it wasn't his doing, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So how do we be strong in the power of his might? We've been talking for a number of weeks, I think this is week 4, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is week number 4. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a working of man. It's a grace of God. And it's a promise of God, graciously given. It's a provision. Jesus said about the baptism, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Jesus said those words before he went to the cross. Then Luke 24, after he rose again, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He was speaking to his disciples. Then we see in Acts 2, 38 through 39, Peter said to them, well, let me back up just a little bit. So we see as the disciples waited in the city, they were all together waiting, praying and worshiping the Lord, we see that the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes them. They begin speaking in new tongues. They begin, and people around them within the city hear what's going on, and they're amazed, and they hear them praising God in these new tongues and speaking out praises of God, and they're amazed and they're wondering what's going on. And Peter stands up and he begins to explain what's happening, that the Spirit of God has fallen, has baptized these people. And he begins telling and witnessing in boldness, great boldness, about Jesus Christ and what he has done. And And then they begin to cry out, what must we do? What are we supposed to do about all this? You know, we need to be saved. What must we do? And Peter answers in response, and he says to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. So we see again the fulfillment of this promise of Jesus. Jesus promised it would happen. And he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. And Peter again says that it's available to all. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than just speaking in tongues or heavenly language. Yet, we can't deny its place within the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts shortly after this that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those people baptized in the Holy Spirit begin to speak out boldly as a witness. We see Peter right up front. That bold witness. We see the community of believers gathering in love and in community, supporting one another. We see believers beginning to move in signs and wonders, great healings taking place. And we see people speaking in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. It is not a law. It's not something we push as a doctrine or a law. It is a grace. It is a grace. It is a provision. It is a promise. It's a birthright of children of God, of heirs, and of co-heirs with Christ. That's why Paul understood this and said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Christ has all you and I need to stand strong, to be what he's called us to be, his faithful witnesses on this earth. We see through the baptism spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to do what? To edify the body. Right? We see spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, a list of them. In 12, 7 through 11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith of the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing to the same Spirit, and to another, one Spirit to another, the effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributed to each individually, just as he wills, as God wills. So God has given, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts are for building up the body. And we see those spiritual gifts used out even into the world. And they're used as the Holy Spirit would see fit. He blesses you with the Spirit, with gifts of healing. Right? As he sees used to use fit. As he sees necessary. He sends you to someone to bless in prayer for healing. As he sees fit. And others he might use in gifts of miracles. Others, great gifts of faith, Mary Jo. Right? But when we see tongues, it's not necessarily what I would call a spiritual gift. I thought Zach was giving me the 10-minute sign. So I'm doing something back there. It's not necessarily what I would call a spiritual gift. I would call it a grace. Because it has been given freely to all of God's children, to anybody who would want to receive it. And it is not for me to come speaking in my special heavenly language, which I do often, as you've probably heard me. But it's not for Ashley when I do it. When I pray in my heavenly language, it's not for Ashley. It's for me. And it's for God. It's my grace upon my life that God has given me as His child. It's provision. I have a few more slides, I think, hiding out up there. And there they are. Speaking in tongues. It's to edify me. Communion with God. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." So it's my prayer to God. And this is just for edifying me. It's a gift God gave for me just to speak with Him. It's for worship and praise. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also." It's for prayer and intercession. Romans 8:26. "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." That's why sometimes when Ashley, you're sitting in the front row. I'm sorry. When I'm praying for a friend, you might hear me pray in the Spirit first. Or even afterwards. You know, "Oh Lord, bless that. Bless Ashley. She needs your help today." And then I'll just start praying in the Spirit. Because sometimes I don't know how to pray. But you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows the perfect heart and will of the Father. And He knows everything. And it's for building ourselves up in faith. Jude 1:20. "But you, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Build yourself up. It's for building me up. It's for building me up. So we see spiritual gifts and we see a grace, a provision. You know, Christine this morning quoted that scripture out of Luke. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." I love that scripture. You know that word "ask" in there, and I don't know the Greek word for it, but I looked it up this last week. That is the type of ask that one uses as a child to a good father. In that, it's not a demanding, but it's an asking for something you know is rightfully yours as a child. It's asking with the expectancy that you know this is yours, just like your child would say, "Can I have lunch? I need a new pair of shoes." And you know your parent is not going to turn you away from what you know you need. And so this is the type of ask that would be ask that you would receive. Seek that you would find. Knock that the door would be open unto you. And the scripture goes on to say, "For what kind of father, you being a good father, would give good gifts to your son? How much more would the heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you would ask?" So this is a gift that is open to all. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift to use as we will. Once again, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I would encourage you, just as I was encouraged, that if there are any, David, you can come up if you'd like. if there are any that would be standing at a distance at the tent door, so to say, looking on with a desire for more of God's presence, more of His strength, more of His power. That God has already said, I have spread my skirt over you. If you are His child, you've already entered that covenant relationship. That He has already spread His skirt over you. And He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. But if you want more of His presence, more of His power in your life, you are seeking for more, I would encourage you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would also encourage you that if you feel like you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but have never received the gift of tongues, the grace of tongues, there's no pressure. But there's provision. It's something for you as a grace, as provision, that you would be built up and edified, that you would be strengthened, that you would have something that the Father would want to give you. For your blessing. And it's a free gift, just like salvation. It's for you. If you have had this experience, if you have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and maybe you've even spoken in tongues before, but find that you don't do it any longer, or maybe it has never gone anywhere for you, you never knew what to do with it, and just want a fresh touch of that, we'd be happy to pray for you on that as well. I'm going to ask Ryan and Alicia if maybe you would just step to the back someplace if anybody would like prayer afterwards for either any of this, for baptism, for refreshing. And most of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you have never encountered Him in that personal way, if you've never understood that He gave everything to set you free from sin so that you could be in relationship with Him because He loves you desperately and you would like to have that relationship with Him, feel free to go to either Ryan or Alicia or the two of you together, however you want to do that. They'll be happy to walk you through that today. I just want to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You have given us provision, that You have encouraged us not to stand on our own, but to stand in You and in the power of Your mighty strength. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have encouraged us not to leave Jerusalem without Your power, to not to be witnesses on our own, but to be filled with Your power and Your strength. You have made provision to be strong and courageous. Father, I ask that You would just be glorified, that Your word would work in our hearts, that we would be yielded to Your word, Your spirit, Your will. In the mighty name of Jesus.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.